What if Sabrina Carpenter's rise to pop stardom wasn't just talent and timing, but part of something much darker? In this episode, we're going to deep dive into her Disney past, her strange acting roles, and the occult symbolism hidden in plain sight across her music videos, from Eyes Wide Shut to Rosemary's Baby, from Monarch Butterflies to MKUltra Mind Control. This one's got it all. Is Sabrina the latest pop pawn in a ritualized system of control? Join me on the best occult symbolism podcast in the world since 2014. That's right, we're breaking down Sabrina Carpenter. You love her. Everyone loves her, right? Top of the charts for years in a row. She's got a new album dropping in August. Well, I'm here to take a critical look at the occult illuminate confirmedness of Sabrina Carpenter. And to be fair, look, first disclaimer as usual, this is not intended to be a harassment of her. Please do not harass her, okay? In fact, I would take it a step further. Don't even cancel her, because I'm anti-cancel culture, and you should be too. People are allowed to do whatever they want. If they want to worship Lucifer, go for it. That's up to you. You make that choice, right? Like recently, I had a my most recent guest, JKUltra, ruffled a lot of feathers. She ruffled a lot of feathers, rightfully so. She was talking about good and evil being on a spectrum, and the occult belief systems, they don't believe in the same black and white view of the world as some of your Abrahamic religions do. All right? Does that mean she worships the devil? No, I wouldn't think so. Should ask her that. I don't think so. She should be allowed to have that opinion. You don't have to agree with it. I don't agree with it. You know? I don't think Lucifer's a good guy. But I've had a lot of people on here because we talk about Freemasonry, the occult, the New Age, and sometimes my guests, sometimes they're part of that, you know, system. Not system. That sounds bad. JKUltra is a good person. I've talked to her many times. She seems like a genuine, great person. So whatever she believes, she's allowed to believe, you know? This is America, damn it. And the same goes for Sabrina Carpenter. If she's Illuminate confirmed, she should be allowed to do that. However, here's where I will bring it back into my worldview. It's like, I don't have kids, but if I did, and they were in love with Sabrina Carpenter, I'd be a little leery. I'd be like, well, let me check out the music videos. Let me see what she's talking about. Let me see what she's pushing. Because the kids are very influenced by the music and the arts and the films and such. That's where it comes into a personal subjective choice. You decide what you want to do with this information, all right? I'm gonna present it. You do what you want with it. Me, personally, I don't know. Her songs are pretty catchy. I like them. I don't know her as a person, obviously. She's from near my hometown in PA there, so she's already on a good winning side with me. Born in Quakertown, PA. That's right next to my beloved Allentown. Her parents seem kind of chill. Oh, and then let me tell you what I'm going to tell you about, all right? I guess usually I give you a little preamble so you know if you want to stick around. The show is going to walk through her history, going from her family with some celebrity ties that you may not know about, pretty crazy one. And then we're going to talk about her career, starting with Disney and her acting career, which is what launched all this. Then we talk about her music career. We're going to walk through all of the symbolism. And I watched every single music video she has. Did it all for you. It's all for you. And we're going to talk about all the symbolism that we see. And I know there's what's inspired this was on Reddit. There was a post on the conspiracy Reddit that someone posted. I didn't actually read it. And they apparently got taken down. Then there was another Reddit talking about the takedown of the other subreddit. So some of the ideas I will present today, I actually saw in that Reddit post, the discussion of the taken down Reddit post. But I'm going to give you my spin on it, my take on it, and I'll give you the photo evidence, right? So if you're watching the video version of the show, you can see what I'm talking about. I'll upload the photos on my Instagram, at Isaac Weishaupt, like and subscribe. Okay, let's talk about her background. Her parents seem pretty chill, middle class types, nothing too crazy. Dad's a chef, he's a musician, whatever, right? Mom's a chiropractor. Already a little woo-woo-y. We're already off to a little woo-woo-y new age. She got three older sisters. She was homeschooled. Kind of weird. Okay. So, of course, she's going to be a little strange. I'm a homeschooled people out there. You're a little weird. I was a public school kid. My cousins, they went to a private school. They're very intelligent. So, you know, everyone's got their little thing, their little quirk. Now, what's weird is that her father's... Wait a minute. Her father is the stepbrother to Nancy Cartwright. So that means Sabrina Carpenter's aunt is Bart Simpson. What? That's right, Bart Simpson. The voice actor, Nancy Cartwright, she plays the voice of Bart Simpson. Fun fact, she's also in the Church of Somethingtology. I don't want to say the words. I'm trying to grow my YouTube channel and trying to be a good boy. I'm going to be a good boy, and I'm not going to say any words that are going to upset anybody, YouTube. YouTube slave masters. So I'm going to not say the words. You're intelligent people. You can put the pieces together. Oh, and by the way, go subscribe to my new YouTube. I know, I ask you this all the time. I want to put it, it's at Occult Symbolism. Links are in the show notes. Or anytime I talk about stuff, you can go to allmylinks.com/IsaacW. So, her aunt is Bart Simpson. She's a somethingtologist. And Sabrina's parents and sisters also allegedly Church of Somethingtology. So, is Sabrina Carpenter in there? We don't know. Some claim that she is. Some claim that she is the next face of the Church of Somethingtology. Since Tommy Salami is getting kind of old. He's getting kind of old. He's still bagging young baddies, though. He's still knocking down action movies. That's why he's the second greatest to ever do it. She's been a little cheeky about it, denying membership within the group. Who knows, right? It's something strange going on there, for sure. Speaking of Danny Masterson, the other guy, the other infamous guy from the Somethingtology, he just got jumped in prison, I heard, on the TikTok. I don't know if it's true. But anyway, the Simpsons and Bart Simpson, this opens up a whole can of worms. Right? The Church of Somethingtology also opens up a whole massive can of worms. Also, you know, founded by L. Ron Hubbard, which was doing the Babylon workings, watching Jack Parsons' jacket in the desert, trying to incarnate the Antichrist, which is what we're going to come back to full circle. When we get to the end of this analysis, we're going to say, I'm going to give you a little sneak peek, Sabrina Carpenter, Illuminate confirmed for manifesting the Antichrist child. So keep that in the back of your mind. L. Ron Hubbard is and Jack Parsons, the Antichrist himself, trying to incarnate through the Babylon working. If you don't know what I'm talking about, I've talked about this countless times. You better subscribe to the podcast and start going through the catalog. So the Simpsons, on top of all that, is another massive rabbit hole of conspiracy because they've been predictively programming things into the pop culture zeitgeist for many years. There's something estimated to be over 30 predictions made by the Simpsons of things that actually manifested into reality. Could be chaos magic, could be something along those lines. The problem now is anytime an event happens, these idiots with AI go out there and they make fake Simpsons videos. It's hard to tell what's real anymore. And I want to do an episode about this someday. It's on my back burner, Simpsons episode where we could debunk. We talk about the legitimate actual episodes that actually predicted something. There's a couple big ones. Like apparently there was an episode from the year 2000 where they predicted Trump to be the president. There was an episode where Bart Simpson holds up a magazine that says 9/11 with the Twin Towers. I mean, that's weird stuff, right? Weird stuff. And the question, the conspiracy of the Simpsons is that people suggest that Matt Groening is a Freemason and he's involved with all this. As far as I know, I've never seen proof of that. People think that this is showing us the plans for humanity. It's a predictive programming of what's going to happen in the future. Some people say it's just dumb luck. Some people say it's synchromysticism. It could be a mixture of all these things. A mystery indeed. It's still on the TV, isn't it, Simpsons? I mean, I watched it from the first episode. That's how old I am. But I stopped watching it probably, 4 or 5 years later, you know. Got a lot of love for it, though. Great show. Cool Nintendo video game back in the day. So Sabrina Carpenter, you know, she's already got the makings of Illuminate confirming. She starts posting on YouTube at age 9. kind of weird. Then her dad, who's a musician, but her dad built her own music studio. Say what? I mean, imagine having a dad that proactive, building you a music studio when you're 9. Oh my goodness. So this lays in the groundwork of she's trying to go Hollywood, right? And that's exactly what happens. She started out doing short, little bits. Like her first TV appearance was on Law and Order SVU. As a child being controlled, and the character she played was a child being used into a child abuse exploitation network of sorts, right? So that's weird. Then she was in a movie called Horns with Lil Harry Potter, Danny Radcliffe, and she plays a girl who was raped and murdered and avenged by a man who wakes up. Lil Harry Potter wakes up with horns protruding from his head and special powers. He's got the CDs, and the powers he has are actually kind of dumb. That people tell their darkest secrets, and then he like makes them act it out. I've never seen it, but he's walking around looking like Pan, right? The archetype of Pan. And stranger yet, she attended the film premiere of Horns wearing a dress identical to that of Alice from Alice in Wonderland, the blue with the white doily or whatever. Which was strange, right? Because Alice in Wonderland, also one of the most occulted tales of all time. She goes through the looking glass, through the portal. We just did a two-part portal series, if you haven't listened to it. We talk about the mirror and Alice in Wonderland, which is an initiatory tale, right? Alice goes underground, gets initiated, looks at the world in a different way, comes back up. Sabrina then is in Disney's Girl Meets World, a show based off of the Boy Meets World. Apparently, I don't know. So then she gets in the Disney pipeline, which, you know, not looking good. Then she starts her music career with Disney's Hollywood Records, drops a debut single in 2014. Kind of surprised me. I didn't know she's been doing this for a while, right? Goes to show, if you keep going at it, you might crack through someday. She has a 5-album deal in 2014 with Hollywood Records. Then over her career, she releases, a bunch of albums. She's in a bunch of lame movies. Allegedly, the story, the mythology of her is that she co-writes or writes her full songs. Is it true? Who knows anymore, right? I think a lot of this, there's always these mythologies that Hollywood presents to us. I like to talk about Prince Harry. Remember when they were interviewing him and he was in the military at the time and the sirens are going and I think it was a big publicity stunt. He cuts the interview and runs off to into danger to save people or whatever he's doing. I don't believe that. I think that was all staged. Because why not? Because there's a whole, over in England, they got a whole propaganda wing for the royal family. It's in the tabloids. It's a whole thing. I don't believe anything I see on TV. Everything's coordinated and manufactured. Propaganda. Then we've got her dating life. Let's talk about that briefly. She dated a guy named Bradley Perry in 2014. Then she dated Shawn Mendes in 2023. Then she dated Barry Keoghan from December of 23 to December of 24. Now, Barry Keoghan, an interesting character. Interesting character. He was in Saltburn. We did a whole... this was on the Patreon bonus feed. Or all the supporter bonus feeds, I should say. I did a Saltburn film analysis right when it came out. January of 2024. And it was fascinating. I found all the symbolism of Bohemian Grove, Shakespeare, all kinds of crazy stuff. So Barry Keoghan was in Saltburn. Kind of a freaky movie, right? He's also apparently in Robert Pattinson's The Batman. He was an unseen Arkham prisoner, which later was confirmed to be the next Joker. I had no idea any of that was happening. I'm actually a huge fan of... I know I give grief to all the superhero nerds out there with superhero movies, as they should deserve to get. Because, look, we need to make room for better movies. But I got a soft spot in my place for DC, so Superman. I'm going to go watch the Superman movie. I love Batman movies. I'll watch every Batman movie. So, Turns out I'm a big nerd too. So anyways, yeah, Barry's going to be the next Joker, which if you know the history of the Joker, that's some strange people to align yourselves with. You know, Heath Ledger, Jared Leto, even Jack Nicholson, which we're going to talk about in my three-part Shining analysis coming soon. He was in the Chernobyl show on HBO. He was in the show movie called Killing of a Sacred Deer. I haven't seen it yet. He was dating a nurse and had a kid with her in 2022. Then they break up in 2023. Gee, I wonder what happened there, right? That's when he starts dating Sabrina Carpenter. Interesting guy, though. He's talked about his addiction and his mother died from a heroin addiction. He's very Irish. He's from Dublin. You know? You must be Irish because when I see you, my penis be Dublin. Sorry, sick joke. Yeah, so anyway, so strange background, strange foundation already off the bat. So let's talk about her music videos and her albums. We're gonna go, I went through the whole shebang, every music video. So let's start with the first album, an EP called Can't Blame a Girl for Trying. She's got music videos from 11 years ago, by the way, where she's just a child. She's 12 years old. She's talking about, you know, silly child things. It's nothing crazy. And in the video, she, you know, they put a pineapple against her eye, like she's covering one eye with a pineapple. But I'm like, I don't know. All right, we're evolved past that, aren't we, conspiracy people? We've evolved past just saying, hey, they did something covering up the eye. Did we evolve past that or no? I don't know. I don't know where I stand on it. It depends on what else you throw into that mix. If it's just that and that alone, I'm like, eh. But as you're going to find out, it's not just the pineapple. It's actually a lot of stuff. Should also throw in to mention the pineapple upside down symbolizes the swinger community. That's kind of weird. Then she has a video for The Middle of Starting Over. And I don't know, there's a bunch of videos, very teeny bopper, very, you know, aesthetics of silly kid stuff, selfies, flowers, that kind of thing. Then her first full album drops, her first real album, and it was called Eyes Wide Open. My goodness. Obvious reference. If she is, in fact, a member of the Church of Somethingtology, right there, connected in with Tommy Salami from the great Kubrick's Eyes Wide Shut. Which, if you don't know about the symbolism of Eyes Wide Shut, you must be new here. I got a six-part series. I got a book. I got the whole thing. Look through my index, and you'll see a bunch of stuff. Now, the Eyes Wide Open video, she's sketching eyeballs in a book, a bunch of eyeballs. There we go with the all-seeing eye again. Huh, maybe there is something there. And on that Reddit post, the conspiracy theorists claim that it was filmed in Park Plaza Hotel, which is a lodge for the Order of the Elks, which is a Freemasonic-style fraternity. I can't verify that at all. Could be BS. But on that Reddit, there was someone on it that made a good point. In the Eyes Wide Shut, in the film, it ends in that toy store scene, right? That's what's crazy about Eyes Wide Shut. After all these years of analyzing it and countless hours and books, I still hear about things that I didn't catch. But in that toy store, there's when Bill Harford and Alice are walking their daughter Helena through the toy store, she stops at a bassinet, a stroller, and she makes a scene about it. And if you pay attention, she says, I could put Sabrina in here. Wasn't that interesting? What a weird sync. Carpenter was born before the release of Eyes Wide Shut, so maybe Helena is talking about the baby that's on the way, Sabrina Carpenter. Which, according to the conspiracies, that bassinet is also the same bassinet from Rosemary's Baby. That's right. The movie about satanic elites essaying a woman through a Hollywood-type contract and creating the Antichrist, which, again, Jack Parsons, L. Ron Hubbard, the Babylon Working, that's what that was all about. So if that bassinet is symbolic of Rosemary's Baby, it's saying Sabrina Carpenter is the Antichrist, born through the satanic elites. Which I've got stuff to add to that. I mean, I don't know. This looks weird, folks. Sabrina Carpenter, born literally just before the July 16th theater release of Eyes Wide Shut. Born May 11th, 1999. 5-11-99. Curious number. 5, the number of the pentagram. 11, the number of magic. Aleister Crowley's favorite number. 99, the final year before the new millennium. All right. And we talked about the significance of July 16th, 1999, because that's the date that Eyes Wide Shut was released. That's the day of the Atomic Trinity bomb test. That's also the Apollo 11 date that Apollo 11 launched. Got a whole show about that, too, on the symbolism of 716. I'll put links to all these shows I'm talking about in the show notes. But, of course, the theory about the whole thing is that Rosemary's Baby, directed by Roman Polanski, the guy that was literally a abuser of children, filmed Rosemary's Baby, of course. His wife, Sharon Tate, murdered while pregnant a year after the release of Rosemary's Baby by the Manson family, which some claim that they were doing drugs and having tapes of stuff that later Tom O'Neill's Chaos kind of suggests could be actually what really happened there. Weird things. Also in 1999, Polanski releases Ninth Gate. Another satanic cult film with satanic ritual stuff. Filmed at the Chateau des Ferriers, a mansion owned by the Rothschilds. Just like how Eyes Wide Shut, the Mentmore Towers, was the owned by the Rothschilds, was the filming location for the Somerton Mansion, the exterior shots at least. So the Ninth Gate, also about the incarnation of the Antichrist through this young, pretty blonde woman. Lots of strange connections here with Sabrina. Okay, so we're already off to a hot start with the first album, right? Then she drops an album called Evolution in 2016. There was a song from 2017 called Thumbs. I had no idea that song was Sabrina Carpenter. I had heard it before somewhere. And on the music video, she's on the subway. And you'll notice there's a large graffiti of an all-seeing eye. What the heck is going on with these all-seeing eyes? They're in every damn video. Turns out maybe I'm not beyond looking at all-seeing eyes. Maybe they are some symbolic reference pointing us to the Illuminati. Then in 2018, she drops an album called Singular Act 1. And the first music video is called Why. And the video is about her and her love interest are in this diner, and they're discussing opposing polarities. He's like, hey, we're like salt and pepper, you know, white and black, two opposing polarities, just like the floors of the Masonic lodges. Right? You know, the reconciliation of opposing forces is a common theme represented in every occult ritual there is. And it starts out, and she says, on the count of three, name your favorite horror movie. And they go, 1, 2, 3. She says, The Shining, the correct answer. He says, I hate horror movies. They're opposing forces themselves. They're the salt and pepper. Union of opposing forces. A la Go with the Bobs. Then a video called Alien. Things start to get a little weirder for Sabrina Carpenter. She's in this all-white padded room with surveillance cameras. Song's not about aliens, much to my disappointment. But the video is definitely getting darker than the pop sort of young teeny bopper stuff, right? That's where you first start to see it. Then in 2018, she has a video for Almost Love. The video and the lyrics start getting a little more sexual. You know, she's becoming older. She's, you know, at this point, barely 18. Then there's a movie in 2019, or a video in 2019 called Paris. She's in the bathtub. You know? Illuminate confirmed. You know the bathtub. It's the portal. It's the passage of the moon goddess. It's the Kabbalah mikveh. Got a whole show about it if you haven't heard it. Do I do a whole show? I think I've got a whole show about it. Maybe I don't. Maybe I've just talked about it a million times. Anyway. Or maybe it's just the director was like, let's put her in a bathtub. It'll be sexy, whatever. Who knows? 2019, she does a video called ASMR where it's just her doing ASMR for a minute. That's the weird thing where people, they whisper real soft and they like tap on stuff. I don't know. It's weird. It makes, you know, most people cringe at it. I cringe at it. I hate it. But anyway, she has a phone, and on the phone, there's an inverted pentagram. And I'm putting all the images of this on Instagram if you're listening to the audio version of this show. I'm also, as you know, doing the video version of this show now, and I'm continuously trying to improve the quality of the video version of this show. So if you want the video version on time, with, or I should say early access, join the Patreon Tier 2. You get the video ad-free, all the early access, or the VIP section Tier 2. Or if you want to wait a week-ish, I put it on my YouTube, Add Occult Symbolism, all one word, as well as the Spotify version of the show, as well as my Rumble channel, also Occult Symbolism. Pick your poison. But those all get the episode about a week late. Why? Because they suck. The video versions of the video platforms absolutely are a, well, what's the right term I should use? Let me be nice. Take advantage of creators. Let's say that, okay? Unless you're a massive person who can peddle beds and boner pills, which I'm not there. 2019, she releases an album called Singular Act 2. And the first video is called In My Bed. And the video starts with her levitating from the bed. Kind of implying that she's doing a little astral projection. Occult, new age type practices. In her bedroom, it's got a couple butterflies. Right, which we all think, oh, okay, MK Ultra, Project Monarch, butterfly. But the dice on her bed are even interesting. The dice show us the number 11. 11, of course, the number of magic per Aleister Crowley. She was born on May 11th. And 11 is baked into Aleister Crowley's universal hexagram. It's got a 5 and a 6 in there. Right, the macrocosm and the microcosm. The universal hexagram is the combination of the two forces. And in the video, she's got these bugged out eyes and dilated pupils right next to these butterflies and cats. So I'm thinking, oh, okay, this is very in line with the MK Ultra stuff, with the sex kitten stuff from the Project Monarch, from Kathy O'Brien's testimony about how that all went down for her. And on top of it all, she's wearing an outfit that's black and white, again with your opposing polarity stuff. Then there's like three versions of her, meaning she's disassociating into alters, which is part of the fragmenting of the mind. Then there's four of her and so on. Again, with the MK Ultra stuff, which I'm going to go deep into in the conclusion. I'm going to go deep into the history of MK Ultra with how that fits into all this. We see her eyes doing the swirling hypnosis stuff. Again, MK Ultra mind control. She's in a padded room again with a straitjacket, just like earlier. And these old dudes in suits show up, and it's like they're harassing her. I'm thinking, is this the record company? Are they saying that the record company's MK Ultra-ing her? Then the video ends, and she floats down to the bed, and that's the end of the video. Very strange. That's the first one that I was like, okay, something's really weird with this chick. Quick housekeeping, now that we're in the middle of the show. Housekeeping. Hey everybody, this is Isaac with a post-production update. Real quick, go subscribe to my YouTube channel, my third one I'm rebuilding again, youtube.com/@occultsymbolism, all one word, and you'll get the notifications because I'm going live Wednesday, July 23rd at 6 p.m. Eastern, 3 p.m. Pacific on my YouTube channel. I'm not going to bring the Twitter feed into this because last time we had an issue and I don't know what it's related to. So we're just going to do this on the YouTube, so go subscribe there. We're going to talk about the Saturn Death Cult of the Black Cube, a topic I was unpacking on the most recent episode of Breaking Social Norms, so you can listen to that if you want the information now. But I'm going to add some clarification to it. We're going to talk about some updates from the news world of, you know, Epstein, of course, Elon Musk, Grok, and some symbolism and pop culture updates. So be sure to join the live stream. They're super fun. YouTube.com/@occultsymbolism, at the symbol, right? You get it. Links in the show notes. Go subscribe. Thanks. If you're on the Patreon, I'm going to post a poll to have you vote on what the next movie analysis you want me to do. We did this about 2 months ago, and I gave you the choices, and you guys overwhelmingly chose The Shining. And I'll send out a Google Forms link to my VIP section, folks, so you can vote too. because your vote matters also. And so do the Apple Podcast people. But guess what? Apple, they, what do you call it? They don't let me, I don't know who you are. They don't give me your email address, nothing. I get a number. And that's fine. If it's easy for you, great. I love that. Thank you for your support. But I'm just saying, I can't send you this poll because I don't have your email address. But I appreciate your support. Thank you. So the poll last time, overwhelmingly The Shining. Everybody wanted it. So I'm almost done with it. I'm generally done with it. I just got to record it, upload the images, do all the video stuff, which takes me freaking forever. And I'm going to get The Shining out. I'm hoping late July, early August. It's going to be a banger. Do not miss The Shining analysis. I read through the book again. I went deep. I pulled out every conspiracy you could think of, and I found some crazy stuff that connects it all together much better than I ever did in the past. So do not miss my 3-part Shining analysis coming soon. But I need you to vote. If you're on the Patreon or the VIP section, check out the poll. You could vote between the next film analysis being Sinners, which I watched, Fight Club, or Under the Silver Lake. You tell me which one you want. I give it to you. Just like that. Boom. Boom. Also, on my website, so if you want, someone asked me, hey, can you upload a index of all the appearances you've made on the various podcasts and platforms and so on? I did that. It should be pretty much done. I probably missed a couple here and there, but I went back in the history of what I could remember. And then some of the places that I did podcasts, they have gone away. But there's a list of appearances, and I put them on my website, so you can check that out. In fact, I'm thinking about it, and I'm like, did I put... There's a show I was on that I want to make sure I get on there. Anyway, I'll put it on my link tree, allmylinks.com/IsaacW. I was just on Reality Stars recently, and before that, I was on the History Channel, no big deal, Unexplained with William Shatner. So check that out. Check out my appearances if you're into that, okay? All right, back to the show. 2022, she releases an album called Emails I Can't Send. And her first video from it, Because I Liked a Boy. And in the video, she's in a circus, which James Shelby Downard says that there's the highest number of Freemasons in the circus. Anton LaVey also got his start in the circus. And in this video, you see the same weird hypnosis swirl that we saw in the eyeballs for In My Bed. Then I got to take a lot of drinks today. My throat's dry. I live in Utah. It's an absolute dust bowl. Just got done CrossFitting. That's why I got the super sexy hair today, if you're watching the video. Then she has a music video for Feather. Now, someone on Reddit said that the font on the beginning of the Feather video is identical to the one found at the beginning of Rosemary's Baby. So again, with the Rosemary's Baby. And I looked at them both, and I thought, I don't really know. They do look similar. So I ran them both through ChatGPT, and they said, yes, these are the same font. Now, ChatGPT, it be glazing me. It be bootlicking. So I don't know if that's true or not, but I looked at the letters, and I think, man, this is the same font. It's even both. They're both pink. Check them out. What do you think? Also, I noticed that at the beginning of the music video, Sabrina Carpenter's name is placed as the center of focus between the saints and the Theotokos, the Virgin Mary, in this Catholic church. Like, she's the new goddess. They're all focusing on her as the new goddess. Obviously, very blasphemous. Also interesting to use the reference to Rosemary's Baby here, because that movie, again, all about Hollywood satanic elites, ritual abuse, SA, incarnate the Antichrist. And we already talked about how this connects into Polanski, Ninth Gate, Eyes Wide Shut. Something really strange here now. Now I'm like, okay, something weird is happening. And in the music video, to make it even worse, she's dancing in this Catholic church, a real Catholic church, mind you, in front of coffins of all these men who disrespected her, like she murdered them. And the video proceeds to show us how she murdered all these men who disrespected her. I thought, well, this is insane. And rightfully so, the video caused issues with the church. So much so, they replaced the priest. They were like, pack your bags, Father so-and-so. And Sabrina Carpenter was asked about this because a lot of people like, a lot of people dismiss it and like, oh, what's the big deal? You know, and I get it. Christians are highly offendable, right? They're very fragile. I'm a Christian. I can say that. But Christians are very fragile. They can't handle much. So at first I thought, do we cancel Sabrina Carpenter because she was in this music video that was very disrespectful? If they did that at my church, I'd be pissed. So I get it, right? But her response made me side with like the offended Christians. She responds by saying Jesus was a carpenter, implying that Jesus was a like Sabrina Carpenter, like in her family. I was like, bro, what are you doing? Yo, weirdo. I thought that was disrespectful myself. I mean, you can't have the balls to go into a church and film a music video where you're like murdering your boyfriends. Like, that's insane. I would never do it. I would never do it. I would be pissed if someone did that in my church. So point goes to the offended Christians on this one. They have right to be offended on this one, I think. The priest was investigated. And from this investigation, it was uncovered that there was evidence that led to the indictment of New York City Mayor Eric Adams. Fun fact. There's a political article where it talks about it. It says the priest Monsignor, I'm not Catholic, I don't understand their hierarchy, the Monsignor, Jamie Gigantiello, was the one that gave Carpenter permission to shoot the music video. Well, her handlers, I should say. She had probably had no involvement whatsoever, which caused the scandal, which ended up putting his names in the paper, and then the feds investigated him, and that's how they found about Eric Adams. The article says Gigantiello, quote, wears a Rolex on his wrist that would knock your eyeballs out. That's actually pretty gangster. But those Catholics, like, they can't get away from the bad press, can they? So the feds subpoenaed Gigantiello because of a guy named Frank Carone, which was Eric Adams' former chief of staff, who was friends with Gigantiello, and they apparently had invested in real estate together. Strange things. And then recently, just like 2 days ago, the New York Post wrote an article that the priest had just recently opened up about what happened for the first time in years, which I thought was strangely synchronistic with my analysis. And he claims that the producers were lying. They weren't forthcoming. This is what he said. I originally allowed it because it was another way that I thought I would be able to attract young people in the church. What they put on paper and showed me was not what they filmed in the church. So that's pretty messed up. So, final take on the music video Feather. To be fair, it's like a silly video. A bunch of guys fighting each other for Sabrina. Some guy sneaks a photo of her butt and she kills him and stuff. But to do this in the actual church was like crazy disrespectful, I thought. Even the church is shown with a tombstone that says R.I.P. B.I.T.C.H. And it ends with the church scene with all these men in the coffins. Also a black and white floor, by the way. Go with the Bobs. But again, the most interesting aspect out of all of this, you know, is the Polanski Rosemary's Baby connection yet again. Is this chick the Antichrist? I've heard crazier theories before. And we're getting caught up. We're almost at present day. We're at 2024. Her album, Short and Sweet. The most famous song, which I think she ever had, was Espresso. She did great in SNL, by the way. I like SNL most of the time. Sometimes it's trash. Sometimes it's pretty good, though. She did pretty good on SNL. They did a skit on Espresso that I thought was pretty funny. But the video, not a whole lot noteworthy. There was a conspiracy going around that Spotify was putting this track on everyone's playlist because it was everywhere last summer, right? I don't listen to pop music, but I knew it. I almost know it by all the lyrics. And I've never purposely put this song on. And the conspiracy is that the record label is paying Spotify to make sure that track is absolutely everywhere. I believe this. No proof needed. I believe it. We talked about this in my second book, Sacrifice Magic Behind the Mic, how the record industry, it does this stuff. They try to earworm you. They try to get, they know that there's so many times they have to play a song before it finally gets catchy to you. They know that. So they just need you to listen to it like 10 times and you're hooked, right? They know there's science behind that. There's so much of this going on right now. There's people paying for social media followers, even podcasts. If you pay enough people to these bot farms to sign up for your podcast, you can crack the top 100 list. There's all these weird sleazy tricks. Of course the music industry does this. Of course. Then she's got a music video for Please, Please, Please. Another good song. Video's got Barry Keoghan in it. Kind of like a Bonnie and Clyde thing. Who cares? Another music video called Taste with Jenna Ortega. It's got a parental advisory. And it's clearly an homage to Quentin Tarantino's Kill Bill. Violent, right? Ortega even has the patch with the cross covering her one eye, right? All-seeing eye. There's the one eye thing again. And even have the X and the O there. If you think about that I just thought about that. The X and the O is the symbol Kenneth Grant talks about as that summons the Antichrist. My goodness. They're shooting each other. They're stabbing each other. There's a voodoo doll. A lot of sort of occult things there with the voodoo doll. There's some lesbian kissing. There's dead boyfriends. So this is continuing on the outrage of Christians right here. A lot of Christians get really upset by this stuff. Me, not offended whatsoever. I don't care. Doesn't even bother me. Doesn't even bother me one little bit. But, you know, it seems like she's trying to establish herself as an opposing polarity to the Christian faith. Is it because she's in the Church of Somethingtology? Is it because she's the Antichrist, incarnate through a lineage going back through L. Ron Hubbard and Jack Parsons? You decide. Then in September 24, she does an interview with W Magazine. And the photos, if you look at the photos, there's one of her in a wet dress lying in the grass with a sprinkler, which the Reddit folks found that apparently that's a recreated shot from the 1997 film Lolita, which I wouldn't know because I've never seen it. I've seen Kubrick's Lolita, though. Ah, there we go. Back to Kubrick yet again. Kubrick's Lolita, which we did a bonus show back in 2020 on Lolita. I'm going to put a link in there. I mean, I don't know why you don't sign up for my Patreon. You get bonus shows, hundreds of bonus shows over the years. Oh, so many good ones. Lolita link. I'm going to put it right there so you guys can really make some tough decisions today, all right? And really say, man, maybe today's the day I sign up and show my undying love for Mr. Weishaupt. All right, well, cool, Bill Gates. I got Microsoft 365, and I absolutely hate it. It's like you click stuff, and it's got to think. It's got to go on the internet to think. Like, oh, my God, just give me the freaking thing. Anyway, it's a shot from Lolita, which you know about Lolita, right? It's a film about a grown-ass man attracted to a minor. It's disgusting. It's a disgusting story. I don't know why Kubrick did it as a film. I don't know why they redid it as a film. And I read it, I read the interview on W Magazine, not Lolita, the book which all these films are based upon. I read the W Magazine article, and it ends with a reference to that sprinkler scene, right? But it does not mention the Lolita parallels at all. They know what it was when they set up the film, the photo shoot. The article says, it was the penultimate look of the day. The final shot would be among the sprinklers on the front lawn. It was hot out, and Carpenter was looking forward to being in the wet grass. It will ruin my hair, but who cares, she said. I like water, but I'm definitely more like a cat. I'm smart. I love a little cat eye. I'm soft sometimes. I love a nap, and I can jump. And I've got so many lives. Now, of course, you're talking about a cat, but think about the ideas that we presented in the music video for In My Bed. There were multiple versions of Sabrina Carpenter, the different alter egos, right? The different versions of her, the dissociated fractured mind, symbolic of MKUltra Project Monarch abuse. Then there was also this other shirt she wore that was causing a stink with Christians. It said, "Awake, arise, or forever be forever fallen." This is a line from Milton's Paradise Lost, and it's a line said by Satan. That's right, the Antichrist himself, meant to rally his fallen angels to rise up against God. It's a very subtle message about rebellion against God, which we're building up quite a list here. All right. And then she's got a new album coming out called Man's Best Friend. She's continuing on the Christian outrage circuit. The artwork for the album is very male-gazy. You know, from the new video where she's called Manchild, where she's all caked up, to a nude cover on the Rolling Stone, to the album cover, which is her in a dress and heels on her knees with a man grabbing her hair. Oh, jeez. She's a grown-ass woman, right? No shade there. If that's what she wants to do, do it. I'm just reporting to you. You decide what you want to do with it. And the album, there's a vinyl version of the album, and it says Side A 33 and a third, which, to be fair, is the speed for LP records. But also very illuminate confirmed, 33, the number of degrees in ritual speculative Freemasonry, the Scottish Rite of Freemasonry. And on the vinyl album artwork, it shows her in bed with a man at her feet, and she's in her underwear. I mean, she's definitely amping up the sexuality here, right? And there's another image of a dog with a collar that says "Man's Best Friend." That's very BDSM. I'm like, what kind of freaky stuff did Barry Keoghan get this girl into? Jeez, right? The point is, though, in conclusion, let's wrap this up. Is she Illuminate confirmed? 100%. 100%. She's got that classic trajectory of becoming famous as a child, very wholesome, and then going through this Disney pipeline, kind of like you see with Nickelodeon. You've seen Miley Cyrus do this, you know, Hannah Montana, Demi Lovato, Selena Gomez, all of them went through this childhood fame, public sort of trials of sorts, and then when they hit adulthood, they become very edgy, right? Like, overly edgy. Like Miley Cyrus, she posed topless while she was covered in a sheet for Vanity magazine when she was 15 years old. 15. And then she made these music videos that I was covering back in the blogging days of these weird psychedelic vibes and concerts with massive blow-up wieners. She was twerking on Robin Thicke at the VMAs. Remember that? That was a huge scene, right? And Demi Lovato, again, famous on Disney, later had to go through a bunch of addiction stuff, right? SA stuff. She was, you know, going through the Disney stuff. And she almost died from an overdose one time. You know, and Kesha also, she wasn't through Disney, but she went through a similar sort of SA stuff. Her manager was Dr. Luke, who, there's a whole thing with that. Diddy tried to sign her, by the way. And another theme you get from Sabrina Carpenter is this this sexuality, right? Like, she's very sexual now. And this is theorized to be some form of grooming. I'm a little leery on that because I'm like, I don't know, sometimes, like, you know, young people, you're horny. I don't know what to tell you, right? Like, I was very horny as a young child. I was, man, from the age of like 12, I was just like ready to go, man. So, you know, she's in her 20s. I don't know. Like, is this just her natural artist thing and she's just like this sex symbol and she wants to sort of show off? Like, all right, more power to you, right? But some people suggest that this is a darker form of grooming. This is showing that she was subjected to MKUltra type abuse, has created alters, and is disassociating or going over the rainbow, as they say. And she's got lots of symbolism that points to MKUltra type stuff. Has she been MKUltra? I have no idea. There's claims that the Church of Somethingtology gets involved with this kind of mind control aspects. Whether it happened to her or not, I don't know. She's definitely getting the symbolism of it inserted into her music videos. And in fact, to sort of bring this back around, if you watch a commercial she did in 2024 for the Paris Olympics, you can see her talking to a blue bird. All right? This is more MKUltra symbolism. Because the predecessor to MKUltra was Project Artichoke. And the predecessor to Artichoke was Project Bluebird. It was called Bluebird because it was a program to try to find a truth serum to make prisoners sing like a bird. And what does she do? She's a singer, right? And Bluebird was the CIA's program in 1950. They were experimenting with drugs, hypnosis, manipulation of psychological functions, just like MKUltra, right? They're trying to make a truth serum, trying to erase people's memories, trying to program the mind. They were experimenting on prisoners of war in Korea. They were messing with civilians, psychiatric patients. They had no consent whatsoever, which is insane. And they were trying to see if they could split their personality, create alter egos, dissociate them, make them carry out things like assassinations, Manchurian candidate style. And from Bluebird, it went to artichoke, which is basically the same thing. And they called it the artichoke, which is very nefarious. They call it because with an artichoke, when you eat it, you strip it apart layer by layer to get to the center, get to the basics, get to the heart of it, right? And that was the idea of stripping the mind down to the basic to reprogram it, tearing down their psyche to get to the will. Then they get Dr. Sidney Gottlieb in, and he gets all these Operation Paperwork, not Paperclip Nazis for MK Ultra, and that's when they really rev it up with psychedelics and crazy stuff. And what's crazy is that there was a CIA agent named Edward Hunter who was spreading fake news propaganda about the communists. He was spreading propaganda saying, hey, the communists are brainwashing people. We really got to do that. And then Alan Dulles, who set this up, because if you look at the history of the intelligence agencies, it's always propaganda against communism. Always. Always the thing. And Alan Dulles eventually believes his own BS that he spread, his own propaganda. And he was like, you know what? We really do got to fight this communist brainwashing stuff, which wasn't even real. Crazy stuff. And Edward Hunter was the guy that coined the term brainwashing, by the way. That's where it all comes from. And this whole idea of mind control assassins, it actually goes back to a Roman story of a woman killing a man with mushrooms that led the CIA to actually research the psychedelic mushrooms. They called it God's flesh. And when they found out that Gordon Wasson had actually went to Oaxaca and found the lady who was growing these psilocybin mushrooms, they were intrigued because you could separate the mind from the body, and that was, again, what they were trying to explore. And they were looking at it through psilocybin. They were looking at it through LSD, which if you take LSD, your pupils dilate, which is what you see in Sabrina Carpenter's music video for In My Bed. She has massive pupils, right? And the CIA, they were messing around with singers. They were messing around with females. So it's very possible that she fits in this, you know, because allegedly Alan Dulles was learning from a hypnotist how to put women into a trance so that he could RAPE them. Disgusting. These are the people. We have a whole airport named after this guy. What? What's wrong with this country? What's wrong with us? And there was a guy named George Hunter White who was doing MK Ultra in Greenwich Village, and he helped frame Billie Holiday. I love Billie Holiday. He helped frame Billie Holiday during this period. Crazy stuff we've done to women and singers. I'm going to do a whole series on MK Ultra someday because most of that information came from Poisoner in Chief, a book about Sidney Gottlieb that I read. Shout out Jordan from Wind and Sea Coffee. Send me that book. But MK Ultra is all about exploring and programming multiple personalities and dissociative states. And in the video, Sabrina Carpenter's In My Bed, you see her with the dilated pupils surrounded by cats, right? So you got the LSD thing, you've got cats, which could reference the supposed Project Monarch Sexkins. It could also reference the CIA's Acoustic Kitty project. They took a cat and put surveillance devices embedded into its skull, a mic and a transmitter. Problem was they couldn't get the cat to listen. Typical cat, right? Very typical. And then these psychopaths, I don't know what they did with the cat. I'm sure they killed it because they're psychopaths. Then there's the, obviously the Project Monarch slaves for the elites theory. Kathy O'Brien claimed that she was actually, you know, going to Disney World where they would abuse her. And we're going to talk more about that in my Shining analysis where we talk about Monarch pretty heavily. But let's go back to the beginning of this episode. We talked about Sabrina got her start doing bits. And her major breakout bit was on Law & Order SVU as a child being abused in a child exploitation network. And it's also interesting because you get all these multiple pop culture references to MKUltra, like Lin Ariola Grande. My impersonation of her gets worse every time. And she had a video where she was showing us homages to The Eternal Sunshine for a Spotless Mind, a film about erasing memories. in Montauk, of all places. And Gottlieb's MK Ultra was pursuing mind control, and movies had elaborated on this idea and presented it as possible, like a Manchurian candidate. Then Gottlieb would later claim it wasn't possible, even though he left the CIA and continued to research weird ideas about like esoteric studies. And supposedly he, you know, just like he went by the way of Epstein, supposedly killed himself. They say he died at home and had a history of heart problems, but his wife declined to give a cause of death. So who knows? And then, you know, Sabrina Carpenter, tons of satanic influence, positioning herself as the Antichrist force, which I find shocking. You know, got all these Rosemary's Babies references, which ties us into Polanski, Kubrick, Eyes Wide Shut, Ninth Gate, satanic elites. Even her Church of Somethingtology takes us to L. Ron Hubbard and Jack Parsons. You got the Milton's Paradise Lost reference. You've got the church heresy. You've got her wearing a shirt that says, or her statement saying Jesus was a carpenter. Like, bro, she's got no chill. Like, stop. Right? Why, though? Why are they doing this? That's the big question. It's because these pop celebrities have massive, immense influence. And if you're groomed into this sort of stardom, you know, look how influential Taylor Swift is. Sabrina opened for Taylor Swift on the Eras tour, by the way. It's kind of, I think that's how she broke out. I could be wrong on that, but I know she opened for Taylor Swift, so that's a big deal, right? And it's because you don't just control the celebrity. Like, that's not the goal. They're not, the elite handlers aren't trying to control what Sabrina Carpenter does. They don't care about her, right? They are, like, that's checkers. What they're trying to do is chess. They're trying to control the audience and shape social engineering. You can see this with Edward Bernays' propaganda. The idea was they could shape public values and behaviors into what their will. They're using magic, basically. And the more strict kind of Christian warrior types would say that all this sexual stuff she's pushing, this is, it's depravity. It's the breakdown of the family unit. Which I don't get, because like if you're having sex, like that's procreating, right? But that's part of the Aldous Huxley Brave New World blueprint, where promiscuity is encouraged, families, though, having a family structure is inferior, and that is how the government controls people in the Brave New World scenario, through pleasure and constantly being entertained and blissed out, whatever. 1984 does similar. I'm also going to do a book club on 1984, by the way. It destroys the family unit, but it also thinks that sex should be a function, right? And there's real strict control over sex, because they don't want people to fall in love. They want people to be in love with the state, be in love with the government, right? Fly flags for your president or whatever. Yeah, wear hats for your president. They want that kind of thing, right? That's what they want. They don't want any emotional bonding amongst us. So is that what Sabrina Carpenter is doing? Is she encouraging promiscuity, destroying the family structure in order to keep us pacified with entertainment and sex like Brave New World? Kind of, right? She was doing a lot of sexual innuendo at like the Eiffel Tower positioning at a concert in Paris recently. Lots of sexual innuendo, which I'm a pig, so like I think all this stuff's funny, right? Like that's my humor. I think it's funny. Is it being weaponized, though? Is it teaching young girls weird promiscuity stuff? I mean, maybe, right? I'm not going to say it's not. I don't know. Typically, I'd be apt to sort of defend artists on this point and be like, well, I mean, if that's what they think, if that's what they're into, what, they can't do that? However, given her background and what I believe to be a bunch of gatekeepers in entertainment, I have a hard time thinking there's not some kind of component of an agenda behind all this, because they only let the messages out that they want, right? She doesn't do anything without them telling her she can do it. So time will tell if Sabrina is being sort of abused MK Ultra-ly or some other way. So far, it ain't looking good. All right. So final verdict, Illuminate confirm, Sabrina Carpenter. Boom. All right. I hope you enjoyed that show. That was a real fun little research project. Now, again, if you want to vote for the next movie breakdown that I want to start studying for, join one of the, go to patreon.com/IlluminatiWatcher. Just go there. It's the most popular. Everyone loves it. Go there, join the community. Poll. I'm going to close the poll out Friday, July 25th. So get on there. If you're on the Patreon, log in, go check it out. And you're going to get to choose between Sinners, Fight Club, or Under the Silver Lake. You tell me, and I'll knock it out. Okay. And also stay subscribed to the show because I'm doing a 3-part Shining deep dive soon and you don't want to miss it. It's so good. It's so good. All right. And if you love the show, consider supporting. If you don't have the funds, leave a 5-star review. If you're already on Patreon, there's no place for you to leave a 5-star. I appreciate it. You're already there. You're already my people. All right. If you're not, if you're on Apple or Spotify, leave a 5-star review. It helps me a ton. So thank you for your support. Till next time, stay positive.